It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
When we left you, a big trade went down, and then the Jets made another trade. So we'll get into that at some point, because the conversations are about how the Jets won, and look at all the draft capital. The Jets have been in this spot before and did nothing with this. So it sparked something in my mind about all these teams who acquire all these picks, particularly the picks that get people excited, first rounders and then second rounders. What has it turned into? I mean, we can break down a couple of the AFC East teams in the last couple of years who've had it, Dolphins and Jets, both in the middle of rebuilds at this point. So we'll talk about that. The Texans, because of the Deshaun Watson trade, had plenty of picks, and in the middle of their rebuild, they're 3-5. So I'm not sure this fervor about look at all the picks means all that much, and we know Les Snead didn't give a damn and went on to win a Super Bowl. So we'll talk about that at some point. But let's get to the Astros, because their first significant moves of the offseason are saying goodbye. Chas McCormick, no longer an Astro. Luis Garcia, who once again suffered an injury, no longer an Astro. So they said goodbye to those two. I didn't know that Chas McCormick thing was coming. The Luis Garcia thing seemed inevitable. He wasn't going to pitch, and they decide to cut ties now. But Chaz is out, most notably known for helping the team win a World Series. As far as things of substance around here, these parts are, we know him for being fed banana pudding by Dusty. And the odd thing with him and Dusty, where Dusty didn't want to play him, but he would feed him, stemming from a Chandler Rome article. But Chaz was a contributor to a title team, and it's just the Astros are evolving. I'm not sure they're evolving positively, but they had to make some moves, and somehow, someway, Jake Meyer survives. Like, there's like a animal you would call someone who continues to survive beyond all odds. I won't do that because it's insulting. It's more of an insect, so I'm not going to do that. But Jake hangs on. Jake is someone they like. Jake was supposed to be the everyday starting center fielder until he got hurt. That was something Dana Brown said before last season began. And he said that in like December of 2024, I believe. So Jake remains, Chaz goes. And I don't think people thought that would have been the case 3 years ago, when the back and forth between who should play, why is Jake Meyer still in our lineup? Why is he getting games out in the outfield? The thought was, Jake ain't surviving this. We're going to get rid of Jake. It turns out Chas McCormick goes. So we say goodbye to Chas. Just another Astro who we remember big moments from having to walk out the door. He didn't have a great year last year. Hell, not many guys in that lineup had great years. He was just among them. And didn't play a lot last year. Only appeared in 64 games. So Chas at 30 is done. We'll see what they do as far as strengthening this roster. We went through what the Texans did yesterday in the offseason. They didn't have a lot of hits. There were some clear misses, some undecideds, and then other guys we just wish had more reps, like Jalen Knoll. It's a big offseason for the Astros. The Mariners closed out the season in a way that dusted the Astros. The Mariners, if not for some their own, let's say, unfortunate circumstances late in that Blue Jays series, they are in the World Series. So I don't know how great the distance is, but it's, at least for me, a big enough gap that this is a big offseason for Dana Brown. It'll probably determine his fate. We know he has 1 year left on the deal. There was some speculation about whether he would return. Same speculation surrounded Espada's somewhat. Data Brown has to build a more complete roster, and he doesn't have the advantage of thinking to himself, we're going to get all these starting pitchers back. Luis Garcia was one of those guys last year who he thought would come back. At least the Astros put it out there that they thought would come back. Not the case. So what do they do? How many pitchers do you think, Sean? Two?
Yeah, I think they need to add probably two at least.
Unless, and the frontline guy among them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
top two in the rotation type guy.
Yeah, a two or three kind of guy. And, I mean, we'll see after I think it was yesterday. I forgot if it was Miller or Murphy that left. Whatever. Even with one of them gone, you could even talk me into like signing a three, and I'll be like, he'll probably pitch like a two once he gets here. You know,
it was Bill Murphy.
Bill Murphy. So we still got Miller here.
Correct.
He was the brains of the operation. I always said.
Sure. That. Yeah, you've always said.
Yeah.
There was a clear line between who was actually.
Like, thank God, Brent Schramm's left. No, Miller can cook. Oh, they're saddling him with Murphy.
What's Miller's first name?
Bill.
No, that's Murphy's first name. I believe it's Josh Miller.
Josh Miller.
But I know how much you think of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Coach Miller's all you
how
call
highly
him.
Highly I think of
yeah.
him.
Yeah, you're much like Pronk when people talk to Coach Prime. You don't call him.
No.
You don't call him Prime. You call him Coach, and you call him Miller because it shows respect, not just Josh. So Josh Miller remains. And now that Murphy's gone, you don't even have to get a front of the rotation guy.
A
four on another team, he'll turn into a three or a two, right?
Yeah, I mean.
He's not being dragged down by Bill anymore.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I do question Bill Murphy's decision making.
Okay.
Because he went to the Pirates.
Sure.
And it's just like,
if the cash is good, then I'm taking the Pirates job. What does it matter? I get to coach Paul Skeens.
Nah, whatever. For two more years.
Yeah. 2 years of cash and checks.
Yeah, I'm the one who taught him to throw like that.
Yeah, I know you guys might have forgot. It's me who helped Paul Skeens get to where he is.
Yeah, I'll just believe in the Astros, like, I don't know, pixie dust on pitchers until it runs out.
Because sure.
it went from Schramm to Miller and Murphy. Now it's just Miller. Whatever. But, I think a three and a four, I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, like, all right, let's keep it moving. Maybe a three and a reclamation project who was once like a two or a three. Maybe one of those. Love of reclamation project.
They seem to do well with those.
A Kikuchi-like.
Not a bad pull. Maybe it's the guy they were after during the trade deadline. Those couple days before.
I feel like that's
Dylan Cease.
Yeah, that's a very Jim Crane thing to do. Is to be like, you know that guy we almost traded for? Let's just sign him now. Like, I already made my mind up that I want him. It's like when you're thinking that, you know, it just something in your head as you're driving home, you're just like, you know, I could really go for some Taco Bell. And, you know, later it's like 5 o'clock. You're like, man, I'm still really want some Taco Bell. Like everything else sounds worse than what I've already talked myself into. So, let me get Dylan Cease.
I hope the Dylan Cease acquisition doesn't have the same after effects of the Taco Bell. At least.
Yeah, I've literally never had. I just know that's a thing people say. I've never had any issue with Taco Bell.
I'm trying to think. It's been years. Taco Bell falls in line with like Burger King, places I just don't ever go anymore.
Oh, you're missing out.
I don't know.
They're still cranking out heaters.
I'm sure they have variations of the same things I bought 5 years ago. God, I'm sure there's
crispy chicken they have. Oof.
You don't even sound that convincing.
No, it is. It's great.
I'm sure it's great. But it ain't Taqueria Sarandis, so beat it, Taco Bell. Out of here. Shout out to Taqueria Sarandis.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll do the taco. No, not whatever.
Do you believe Jeremy Pena or do you believe me?
Huh? I believe Jeremy Pena, and I believe you guys should be listening in tomorrow to the John Land Show for the Taqueria Sarandis Pick'em. Taqueria Sarandis Pick'em, where you get a chance to go against Lance or use his choice for the Thursday night game. And if he gets it right because you agree and you agree with him, you get a $50 gift card from Taqueria Sarandis. And if you go against him, you fade him, and he's wrong, you get that $50 gift card.
Okay. So, I'll work on a Taco Bell pickle.
Yeah, call them up and see if they want to, you know, have a relationship
Wednesday
with
night
you
action.
In the show.
Go head to head.
Yeah, why not? And then we can speak glowingly about Taco Bell when they're part of the station. All right, Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back with whatever you decide you want to talk about. As I said, we will get to some Texans. They have a new injury that's concerning. And if he doesn't go, might be a big one considering he scored all their points on Sunday. Also, we'll do some CFP talk. I kind of don't want to get that in depth into it considering we're 4 weeks away from it actually mattering. It's a conversation piece right now, and that's great for a show that talks a lot about college football. But how much does it matter? Teams got to win games. Teams got to lose games. Teams are playing each other, are ranked near each other. Like Texas Tech and BYU play this weekend, and they're 7 and 8 in the rankings. So that clearly will change the rankings for next Tuesday. So we'll talk about that, and we'll get into anything you want to talk about. 713-780-3776 is the number. But I do want to remind you of this. If you are a YouTube TV subscriber and you're wondering where is the CFP playoff show, ranking show, well, it's on ESPN, and you would have missed out because ESPN and YouTube are going through some things right now. And if you want to get your ESPN back, go to keepmynetworks.com and see what is actually going on. You're missing out. You're missing out on, as you heard Sean talk about, Maction. You're missing out on the NBA, college football, game day, First Take, all the shows you love. Go to keepmynetworks.com. Eric and anyone else, we'll get to you when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Pretty simple. You want to deal with Billy Brown if you got a plumbing issue. That's all there is to it. We're talking about the best plumbers in the game. And if you go to their website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com, you see all the things they have to offer. And one of the things they have to offer is a special deal. If you go with them, there's a chance you can get yourself a free water heater. You hear me talk about how they can fix traditional water heaters or the tankless ones. Now, with one of those repipes, you can get yourself a free new one. So if that is something that you have on your mind because you maybe got an older house and you're worried about the piping, check out what Billy Brown has to offer, and maybe you get a free water heater thrown in to that repipe. So it's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. See all the things they have to offer at aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Eric and Chris, we see you. We're going to get to you here. If anyone else wants to join us, 713-780-3776 is the number. All right, let's get to Eric first. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. I know the Astros let go some players yesterday. Chad's gave us the World Series in 2022 with that catch. Is Lance McCullers still on the team or just for coffee purposes? Also, how do you feel about the Dallas trades yesterday? Do you think they gave up too much? And Bill, Joy Taylor hinted about doing an OF. What are your thoughts on it? You know all about it. I'll hang up the listen.
I don't know all about it. I don't have any thoughts. Look, I don't have any thoughts or thoughts, actually. I don't care about Joy Taylor. Full stop. And I also don't care if she does OnlyFans. She's not of interest to me. I get it. Pretty woman on the internet posing in, I guess, a sexy Halloween costume. Cool. Understand. There are a lot of pretty women on TV. She's one of a lot, I guess. It's fine. I get the controversy. She's in the news, but I don't care that much. That's all there is. As far as the other stuff, yes, Lance McCullers is still on the team. It's an interesting question. I mean, I guess that means he's more likely to pitch next year than Luis Garcia certainly was, so they didn't get rid of him. But it is interesting to think he's, speaking of guys surviving, we talk about Jake. I talked about Jake Meyer still being around. Lance McCullers is there because there's a contract there that plays a part in it, and apparently he's not on the shelf for another year, so he can walk into spring training and we can expect him. I don't know. I shouldn't say expect.
He should be.
He should.
He's not currently
in a spot where he won't be available. Yeah. But I don't know if I should say expect him to be
now,
pitching.
In February when he has to start ramping up.
Sure. Things could flip.
We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to pay him either way. Might as well.
Yeah. Luis Garcia is a different story. So
he pitches every three months.
He's gone. Well, hopefully it's better than that. But that joke is in line with what we've seen.
It's actually worse now that he pitches. Like, when he was just out for years on end, it was a little bit of like, well, he's just, you know, he's out. Bad luck. And now he's pitching. It's like, he'll make a start, and then he'll make like three starts, one of which will be okay, two of them will be terrible, and then he'll be out for a month.
Here's a headline that's not great for any Lance McCullers backers. This comes from Climbing Tiles. I just typed in McCullers' name and just see what will pop up. Astros may be forced to bring McCullers back in 2026. That's where he is right now, where, they may not want to, but they kind of have to, considering what we talked about in that first segment with the staff and its issues. And
yeah, it's just a body.
They need bodies right now. They don't have a lot of healthy ones, and somehow, some way, Lance McCullers actually qualifies right now.
I'm not going into the season being like, because we make this mistake every year of you just list all the people on the Astros roster that are starting pitchers, and you go, that's seven names. They don't need any more. It's like, well, I mean, not to single out, because half of them get hurt every year, but the guy who's hurt every year is Lance McCullers. So it's like, I'm just not counting him as like, well, that, you know, that's one arm we got, check, we're good. It's like, no, I mean, even beyond availability, like the actual quality in which he gives you, it's low. It's peaky, and a lot of it's low. So, you know, this is the last year of his deal, so can't wait for this time next year to be like, hey, you got $17.7 million coming off the books.
Maybe he should be treated like a very expensive camp body.
Yeah.
If he's there and he can contribute, cool, but we're not counting on that at all.
Can he give you 50 innings this year?
One can hope. As far as what the Cowboys did. Cowboys didn't get Minkah Fitzpatrick, which is someone that they were rumored to get, but they got the big fish. They got Quinnen Williams, 27 years old, three-time All-Pro, and it's not a move for this year. No matter what happens this year, you're going to have Quinnen Williams with you. You'll probably give him an extension. The Cowboys have used some of the assets that they got back from Michael Parsons to make this move happen. Look, they're bad defensively. They're bad everywhere on that defense. Quinnen Williams will potentially be a foundational piece for this year, certainly in years to come. So I don't mind the move. The question will be, where will those picks fall? Because that's what people care about. If you're bad and you're giving up picks, then that means are you giving up a top 10 pick? The Cowboys certainly hope not. But the thought is, the pick is someone you want Quinnen Williams to be. Now, the pick is less expensive, but Quinnen Williams is a proven player who may, at least this year, certainly have been in a bad spot. So you get him in a, hopefully, at least for him and the Cowboys, a good spot. He can perform at an all-pro level again. I'm not one married to draft picks. I understand that's how you build, certainly better than free agency. But if you are using them to acquire a great player, and he's going to be great for the next 3 or 4 years, I don't mind it. Particularly when you are paying a quarterback that has played well. You've got two receivers. So a lot of the time when we hear about draft picks is about, hey, you always want to be in a spot to be able to draft the quarterback, which the Colts are no longer in that spot after their trade. But the Cowboys have their quarterback. No matter what we think of Dak, that's a good player. Of course, you want to strengthen that team in other spots. They're just going to have to find a different way. But as I said, they use the stuff they got from Micah Parsons in part to make this work. So
yeah,
they traded one big time defender, and pass rushers are certainly looked at as a more premium player than the defensive tackle. But Quinnen Williams is really good, and they got him. And the Cowboys love a star. You know Jerry loves a star, and he went and got himself another one.
Yeah, just hey, be careful when you're negotiating that deal. You know,
well,
handshakes don't mean anything anymore, Jerry. Yeah. Just keep that in mind.
I would say to
Jerry, keep that in mind, Jerry.
Make sure you're talking to Quinnen Williams' agent. Talk to him about the deal. You don't want to talk to Quinnen because then you get yourself in another situation like you did with Micah.
Nah.
I can't wait for
that. Don't change the way you do business. It's the children that are wrong. Jerry Jones, you're not wrong. You're not out of touch.
Let's avoid, if you're a Cowboys fan, let's have Jerry avoid this past offseason, the way he handled the Micah Parsons things. Let's change in that way.
Hopefully there's a big oil deal he needs to make, and then he's like, I'm not really focused.
Frankly, I just need more lines for him on Landman. That's all I really care about.
If
just
he's like...
Make Jerry an actor.
Okay, this is how we do it. You get Taylor Sheridan, you get Billy Bob Thornton, and you're like, listen, Jerry, the only time we can film this is...
First
week of free agency and the 3-day weekend that is the NFL draft. Those are our only dates. Sorry. You know, writer strike, whatever.
Make it up.
Yeah. I feel like you can still blame things for COVID and writer strike that happened
about,
5 years ago.
I hear about a show I like not coming back.
A writer strike.
A writer strike.
That's why it's taken every HBO show 3 years in between seasons.
The writer strike, sure.
So, yeah. Hey, sorry, Jerry, rider strike, but, you know, April 28th, that's the only time we're available to do this.
It'd be funny. They don't even know when the draft is. Hey, Jerry, what's the draft? It's those days.
Yeah, those 3 days, actually.
Yeah, so.
It's the only time we have the hospital hospital room.
We got to fit you in around John Hamm's schedule as well.
I feel like it is just like he only comes in hospital scenes to give him
monologue.
Speech.
I don't even need him really having a dialogue or back and forth. Just give your monologue, submit your Emmy reel, and keep it moving. If you don't know,
I like that we just treat him like he is like Daniel Day-Lewis, where it's like just walk in an empty room and he just can embody
look,
it. In
look,
a
he was being himself, yeah. And what Daniel Day-Lewis at least will turn into another person for the role. Jerry was just being himself and did a good job being him.
Yeah, no.
Much better job than the reality of Jerry Jones. It was the Landman version
of
Jerry Jones.
I mean, because Billy Bob and John Hamm weren't like, but what about Micah Parsons?
John McClane?
Oh, no. I was trying to do, like, sickly in bed. Oh. Like, his dying question was about, like,
Yeah, Jerry didn't.
Wait, isn't Quinnen Williams just older and worse than Michael Parsons?
Jerry didn't have to deal with any pushback from John Hamm on his deathbed, or John Hamm's character at least. Let's get to Chris here, and then we'll go. I like it because I like the known more than the unknown, and there's no guarantee that the draft picks are going to amount to anything. Yeah. So,
I mean, you did have Michael Parsons to start the season, like you could have just
Hey, but
you
details
turned those into the unknown,
Sean,
which you then turned it into a worse player.
Those are details
okay.
that we don't need to talk
again,
about.
Again, handshake deal. They used to mean something in this country, damn it.
I mean, not as recent as Jerry thinks. Let's get to Chris here. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We're good. How are you?
I want to talk about the Astros. I've been watching for a long time, and I was just wondering well, just from baseball, period, I just think in order to compete with the Dodgers or to beat them, could we ever get back to that level? I think Jim Crane's going to have to spend the type of money that the Dodgers have spent. You don't think he'll spend that type of money? I think he'll listen.
Appreciate it, Chris. So we talked about this yesterday. The Dodgers, all their advantages, all the money they're spending, and it took something remarkable for them to take out the Blue Jays. So I do not believe you have to spend the way the Dodgers spent. The Dodgers have a clear advantage beyond the TV deal. The location has helped with the acquisition of Japanese players. But the Blue Jays took them to the brink. The Blue Jays had a 3-2 lead coming home to win the World Series. And through players who aren't all that expensive, the Dodgers survived in some ways. Of course, Yamamoto did what he did. But Rojas hit the home run. The Dodgers are done, if not for Rojas. And He's a little-known player. I think baseball is just different that way, and I don't want to get into defending Jim Crane. That's John's job as far as spending money, but he spends money. No one spends like the Dodgers. Well, the Mets try. They're just not as effective with it as the Dodgers. I think, or at least the hope would be, that the money will be spent, on, at least for me, my hope is they spend money on a start on a couple pitchers this offseason to get them to a point where maybe they don't have a Yamamoto or an Ohtani for their pitching staff, but they have three guys when you throw in Hunter Brown at the top of your rotation that you can go into a series with and go, we stack up.
Yeah,
that's my hope, and I don't know that it'll cost the money that the Dodgers have. And frankly, the lineup is pretty set anyway, so I don't know how much money is going to be devoted to that part outside of Dana Brown's never-ending search for a left-handed hitter. So
maybe one day.
Maybe one day he'll get one that's effective. So I think the lineup, as it stands, is set with Correa and Peña and all those guys. It's now a question of how do you supplement your rotation who simply doesn't have the bodies. The Dodgers, yeah, everyone would love to. It's just not reality.
Yeah,
to spend the way they do.
And starting pitching is the, and I guess bullpen, but for different reasons. But starting pitching is the one position where I'm like, I really don't want to be giving out $200 million contracts to some guy who, chances are, if it's a 5-year deal, will miss at least one season of that. You know, like it's just, it, that's the one where, and I guess we're lucky that the Astros have proven that they can get more out of starting pitchers, but that's the one where I'm like, let's shop in the mid tier for the, like, I'd rather have two like decent options than, you know, the 10-year, $300 million contract for one guy that who, again, you know, look at Gerrit Cole, missed a year, you know, like they're just look around the league. All these guys, you'll just miss a year with them. So I would just like less investment, maybe two guys where, hey, they'll both miss a year at some point on this deal, but you're paying the same amount for two guys. So maybe they can stagger their debilitating arm injuries that they will definitely get.
So the Dodgers total payroll was $350 million, tops in baseball. The Astros were at $832 million. Then there's some things about your active roster, 26-man, and the Dodgers had on their active roster $268 million, while the Astros had $139 million. So there's the gap gets wider. Of course, the Astros had a lot of money tied up in guys who couldn't play, like over $51 million. And then you just even think about the guys who wound up playing but missed plenty of time, like the Yordans of the world. So the Blue Jays spent plenty of money themselves. They were seventh in baseball, $255 million total payroll, $160 on their active man. So they exceeded the Astros as well. But the gap is much, much closer between the Blue Jays and Astros than it is between the Blue Jays and Dodgers.
And just sight unseen, going to guess they had more of their money on the field for longer than the Astros did.
Well, they had $70 million of it injured. But yeah, the Astros, it's actually not that far apart. Like, you know, the Blue Jays had about $95 million active on 26-man difference.
Yeah, but even, like, beyond the, like, inactive, it's like the 100 games that you don't have Yordan Alvarez.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff.
Like, I guess it was two different stints of, like, a couple weeks each where you don't have Jeremy Peña.
Yeah, while he's not as expensive,
yeah,
he's still a
big It's just like you're just missing out a lot of these.
So injuries played a part. Certainly we documented it all through the year. But I think
$17 million, Lance McCullough.
To your point, Chris, you don't have to be the Dodgers to win. Look, the Mariners didn't spend a lot of money, and they are in the AL in comparison to even the Astros, and they are in the ALCS.
Yeah.
It's just we would all love to be able to, you know, hey, yeah, Ohtani, you're pretty good, but the other Japanese guy is going to be the star of this series. We'd all love for that. It's just not feasible for the Astros.
Yeah, no, I mean, and there's an element of, like, I don't want them to be this because I feel like, you know, you're more likely or you're just as likely to become the Mets. You're just as likely to be the Padres. You're just as like, there's a lot more teams that have spent a lot. The Phillies are consistently a top five payroll team. Like, guess what they all have in common? Zero rings.
No guarantees.
Yeah. It's just like,
it does give you a margin for error helps when you spin, but you got to be right. And the Dodgers are right more often than not.
Yeah. And they get all the little, like you're mentioning with Rojas, like they just pull out a Rojas. They pull out a Páez. Yeah. Like they,
those guys will play.
Like it was a development. Like Páez, you know?
Is your Páez's play. The Chaz McCormick play. You need those type of plays to go win a World Series, and they got them in the biggest moments. All right, we'll go to break with that. We will certainly welcome more calls, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. Somehow, some way, this became an Astros first 40 minutes.
Yeah, wow.
It happens. Hey, the Astros never far from our hearts. Still in Astros town, despite.
Forever in our hearts.
Hey, they're the one team we've been able to depend on. See how the Rockets could change that. We'll hear from Tim McMahon on the Rockets. He has a thought about the roster and what it could turn into as far as all-star appearances. So we'll hear from him on that. Rockets got the Grizz tonight with Ja. And because these two can't be apart, Ja's going through his issues, and Zion is too now. So we'll get to that when we come back.
But first, YouTube TV customers, you don't have ESPN right now. That's the long and short of it. Well, guess what? You can get ESPN back. Maybe if you act fast enough and go to keepmynetworks.com, you can get ESPN back fast enough to watch Spurs-Lakers tonight on ESPN, where maybe if you want to get involved with some Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, you got Victor Wembanyama, more than 44.5 points, rebounds, and assists tonight. Give me the more on Victor Wembanyama there against DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton versus Victor Wembanyama. I'm going Wembanyama 9 times out of 10. Give me Amin Thompson in the Rockets-Grizzlies game. More than 30.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He's gone over that number each of the last 3 games. And then this is purely a vibes and what I've seen on social media. The press conference or the locker room availabilities from Ja Morant. Give me less than 21.5 points for Ja Morant. Also, tough matchup against the Rockets. So, if you like those picks, you can follow them. You can literally follow them on the feed tab on Prize Picks, or you can just download the Prize Picks app and make your own picks. So, when you download the Prize Picks app, use promo code MAPES just when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So this is always a little sketchy because you can't trust AI overview on Google. But Sean, can you guess the last time the Rockets had multiple All-Stars in the same season?
Multiple? So more than two? Or
more than one.
2018?
According to this flawed AI, 2019-2020 when both Harden and Westbrook
met. Oh, okay. I forgot. I was thinking Harden and CP3.
Before that, it was another James Harden entry, but it was 2013-2014, James Harden and Dwight Howard.
Yeah. So, and then probably Tracy and Yao before that.
Let's see.
Well, Yao made it every year.
So. Yeah, he was Yao. 06-07, Tracy and Yao. And they did it multiple years in a row, maybe even 5 years in a row. No, Francis and Yao, 03-04. So the Rockets at one point
had
five straight years where multiple players made All-Star games. It's happened less frequently, despite the Harden era of success.
Oh, I thought you meant post Harden Westbrook. Yeah, it happened a lot less frequently.
Yeah, I mean, just since they had a run of it, it just happened less frequently, even with Harden.
Yeah,
he rarely had an All-Star teammate.
Yeah.
But if you were listening to Tim McMahon, that's about to change. Here's Tim McMahon on the potential for Rockets All-Stars.
We are seeing two ascending stars, potential superstars, in Alperen Şengün and Amin Thompson. And by the way, it's not too long ago, we'd be talking to people around the league and they'd be like, I'm not sure the spacing is going to work with those two guys. I'm not sure those two guys can play together. Not only does the spacing work with those two guys, they have developed phenomenal chemistry. And it's a really interesting deal. You know, Ime Udoka refers to it as unconventional. They don't have their point guard. Fred VanVleet is out with an ACL, unfortunately. And Amen is playing that position, bringing the ball up for the majority of the time. But in half court, they're really running everything through Alpi. And a lot of times, Amen Thompson, the point guard, will bring it up the floor and then head down to the dunker spot. And man, Alpi knows how to find them down there, and Amen knows how to finish. And I'm just telling you, those two guys in particular are soaring right now. I think they're, you know, we'll see what the Rockets' record is. I think they both might have a chance to be an all-star this year in addition to KD.
So I would say, can a man be a potential superstar if we're still not sure how to say his first name? You heard Tim McMahon. Alperin.
That's a little too much twang on that.
Yeah.
I'll forgive it from Tim McMahon, yeah. But
somewhat short-circuiting.
Tighten it up.
Yeah. I mean, Antetokounmpo's difficult. That's why we just go with Giannis. I would say if the Alperin thing is difficult, Şengün is pretty easy. Or I heard people say Şengün, so even that's up for debate. But
potential superstars in Alperin, Şengün.
Alperin. I don't know if I've ever heard it said that way.
No, I need to find. There's one from last year from Dennis Scott. I need to find that one. We need to play that.
I do remember that scenario. That was pretty entertaining, too. But beyond our jokes, that's where they are right now. I don't know that Amen will have the numbers. Now, the team may be great, so they may just get three in because they're great. The team might have a great record. But I was trying to think what the, you know, he's been good. 17-5-5, nearly six rebounds a game, 5.5 assists. So if we're rounding up, 17-6-6. I'm not sure, even when you throw in the defense, that qualifies as an all-star level player when you consider he would be considered a wing or backcourt guy. And when you have now the all-star format has changed this year, but it's U.S. versus the world, right? It's the first time for that. And unless Amen's going to represent Jamaica, which he and his twin have suggested they may in the Olympics, I'm not sure he's going to get in with those numbers. I was trying to find a guy of comparable skill and numbers that had those type of that had that all-star game appearance. Remember Andrew Wiggins, the 1 year he made it and people scoffed at that?
Oh, yeah. I think that was that in the K-pop joint or something? There's like some like weird fan base that got him in.
It feels like that might be the way it happens. I don't know if Amen has a K-pop fan base.
I would tell him, hey, maybe throw on a T-shirt for one of them, walk into the stadium, hope that gets put on their radar.
Or for some reason, every time he's asked a question, say, hey, people, go watch K-pop Hunters on Netflix.
Yeah.
And just start it going.
First of all, I would like to thank whatever.
Whatever.
I insert K-pop band here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm having a blank. There, I know there's a lot of big ones, but there's one where one of the members became a star of White Lotus.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't remember the name of that band. Oh, Blackpink. There it is. Maybe he just keeps referencing Blackpink. But the numbers, I don't know if they'll stack up. But the play, maybe overall, the vibes of Amen may get him there. But yeah, sure, Alperin Şengün and Kevin Durant. I don't know that Alperin's a guarantee. Kevin Durant, of course. And then you have to start to see how Alpi does against, well, as a world center. Think about the world centers right now, since that's the format. Jokic?
It just, like, breaks my brain.
Yeah, now that I have to reorganize it, I don't know how the selection's going to go.
Jokic, Giannis, because I think they do it front court.
Yeah, they do
front court guards. So Giannis, Jokic, not in that order. Gosh, who's I don't know. Doncic is always hard because they like will sometimes count him as a guard, sometimes as a forward.
So it'll have two USA teams,
probably good on Franz,
and a world team. That's what they also get.
Two USA teams
and one world team, I guess, is what it
is. I'm guessing it's two teams of 10.
The two USA teams and one world squad will play each other in 12-minute quarter games. So I guess it's some type of round-robin thing, and they wind up having a championship. I don't know.
Or is the Rising Stars going to be in there again? Yeah. I mean, Embiid, but TBD on games played.
Yeah, he's playing now. Minutes restriction for him.
Is he jumping?
Not yet? Really.
Okay.
Not
that,
really.
You know what? I think that hurts him in the...
It may.
Oh, you know what? I just thought of another world starter for the front court, Victor Wembanyama. Maybe. Death. Maybe he gets a look.
Yeah. I don't know that the format helps Alpi this time around because it'll have a round-robin format that will feature 3 8-player teams consisting of 2 USA teams and 1 world team. I don't know if Tim McMahon took that into consideration.
Yeah. But what's Carl Towns' deal? Is he Dominican or is he Team USA for this?
I don't know how he will treat it.
I do feel like this really helps Team USA, considering the makeup of the league right now where, like, the world team would be so top-heavy.
They don't have – who are the world – well, the world guards have Shea.
Yeah. They have Shea.
Doncic, or if you want to call him a wing or whatever you want to call him.
They'll have Doncic there to dribble.
Yeah, and they'll have Shea to dribble.
Yeah.
Does Lou Dort get in Canadian?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, the first, like, 7 guys on the world team are going to be incredible. And then you're going to get to Franz Wagner pretty quick.
But they only need 8. It's 3.
Oh, it's 8 team?
It's 3 8-player teams.
8-player. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was 8 or 10.
No, it's 8. Okay. So the world can be as top heavy as possible.
Okay. Then that really helps the world.
Yeah. So
Team USA is cooked in this. Oh, my God.
So I'm not sure that Tim McMahon took this into account when there are only actually 24 spots and they're divided that way.
Yeah. And how many? So that's 16 Team USA spots?
And 8 world spots. So it's going to be tough for Amin to get in.
I think that puts him on the bubble. I think that puts him on the bubble for USA.
I can't wait for people.
God, this is so stupid. It's so hard for me to think about this.
For people to find out who's not an American, who's playing for the world team.
Maybe that's, I mean, that I think that makes it harder for him if he chooses Jamaica. Does he have to choose?
I don't know.
But can he be Team USA for this and then for the Olympics be like, actually, I want to play for Jamaica?
Well, it's how it goes in international soccer.
Yeah, I just want to know, like, is he locked in?
It's one of the reasons, like, some of the old heads.
You should do a hat ceremony.
Some of the old heads who used to play for the U.S. men's national team and now cover it get somewhat upset because are you really playing for the country and the badge? Because maybe you couldn't have played for England or another country, so you want to play for us.
Yeah, we're the second choice.
So is Amin just going to pick whatever one will take him?
Yeah. Team USA is the safety school?
Yeah.
Team
Jamaica would be the safety school at this point.
I was thinking of soccer.
Yeah.
Where Team USA is always
generally the safety school. Yeah.
Balogun's like, you know, if this England thing doesn't work out.
Now he's tied, so he can't do it, and he's got a spot in the World Cup as long as he stays healthy, so it worked out for him.
Oh, Josh Giddey takes a world spot, probably.
He's an Australian, yeah. So we appreciate the thought, Tim McMahon, but I think you're thinking about the old setup where
they would have had a much better chance. Not a much better. They had a better chance in the old West East back in my day.
Back when it was real. When NBC had it?
Back when the West, TNT.
And NBC. That's true.
My day was still TNT.
NBC has it again. They'll have the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out. Look, it's just a comment on how good he thinks those players are.
Yeah, we don't disagree with that they're all been playing really well.
Now that we get into the minutia of it, kind of it feels unlikely that they'll get 3.
I can't believe they did it like that.
Well, when he was trying to mirror the Olympics, and the he I'm talking about is Adam Silver, trying to mirror the competitiveness of the Olympics. Of course, part of the Olympics is the tournament aspect of it. It's game after game, and you're actually playing for your country.
And the teams have, practices?
Yeah, and it's for – and they get to wear the uniform of their country and hear the national anthem and all that stuff. We're just going to put on a generic world uniform for the NBA and see if we care. Either way, they're trying something new because last year failed miserably, and now Amin probably won't make the team because of it. Good job, Adam Silver. Nice.
Yeah.
And maybe Shingun's out too.
Cost our guys some money.
And a claim as well. Alperen, less likely. to be an All-Star for the second consecutive time.
I think Alperin gets hurt the most by this. I think he would have definitely been a West All-Star, and now that's eight guys in the world for Team World. We really got to be hoping for some
an injury replacement.
Yeah, just a poorly timed ankle sprain. So, sorry, no Jokic. Jokic actually shouldn't be allowed to play in the All-Star game. He doesn't want to. Like, if you ever watch Jokic play in the All-Star game...
Well, he's not...
He is the most, like...
He's not set up for that particular style of play.
But he doesn't even, like, do the cool Jokic stuff that you can do in the All-Star game. Like, he just, like... He just runs around. When we get to February time, just Prize Picks less on any Jokic thing. Just doesn't try. Although there was only going to be eight people on the court, or eight people on his team. Maybe he tries a little more.
Yeah, less on Jokic, points, rebounds.
Yeah, just anything. And then I'd look for a try-hard Team USA guy who's like, this is my tryout for real Team USA. It's like, not really how that works. Sorry, dude.
So however it comes about, it'll be new and probably people won't like it. That's just how the world works.
I'll just say they're starting at a negative right now for me personally.
I am not as negative on it as you are. I just think the premise of it is faulty if you're basing it on, hey, the Olympics is a great experience. Well, sure, because they get to wear Team USA colors and Jokic gets to represent Serbia and Giannis gets to represent Greece and so on and so forth. Representing the world in a NBA produced event, not sure it's going to hit the same. But
yeah,
either way,
a jersey that just says "World" on it.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
not quite the same as Serbia.
And as I said, also I think the tournament aspect of it builds the hype as opposed to the three games we may see if we even watch. All right, where you wouldn't be able to watch it if it was on ESPN and your YouTube TV subscriber, but it is on NBC, so you don't have to worry about it. But for people who want to watch ESPN programming, that's a problem. YouTube TV and ESPN are going through something, so go to keepmynetworks.com to see what's up and what can be done. If you're missing out on what happens tonight on ESPN or on Saturday, if you're a big college football fan, keepmynetworks.com is the site you go to. All right, we are done with hour one. We'll get to hour two when we come back.
ESPN 97.